If you could stay up here again, please, for the next matter on the agenda, which is fiscal year 2020 budget amendment request. And there's a document that accompanies this, I believe, the Vice Chair, this was part of your motion.
Yeah,
it was part of the motion earlier to make it, it's a late submitted document and it's public by now. It's a memo from me to the commission with an attached letter to Mr. Mick Mulvaney, the director of OMB, letting OMB know that since the electronic filing bill was passed, as we just discussed in the previous conversation, that was part of our budget submission for the 2012 fiscal year. After our submission, Congress passed the electronic filing issue, and therefore we have freed up some money that we didn't otherwise know about. Our estimation is approximately $600,000. So because we now don't need that money for the process of the paper filing that many of the senators did in the past, they're now required to file their reports electronically. We know we're saving $600,000 from our budget request. And OMB initially asked the agency to submit a request that was 5% less than the previous year's budget. We did that, but then we asked for what we call an add back. And we had various add backs that were requested by different parts of the agency, including some for cybersecurity from Mr. Palmer and other issues that people anticipated needing in a presidential election year. And so we accounted for all of that, and the final number that we sent was only a 1% decrease. Many of the agencies across the government did not get that increase beyond the 5%. So they're going to be dealing with a 5% cut from the previous year. So as a part of that, the $600,000, it turns out to be approximately 3 to 5%, depending on how you calculate the money, of the discretionary part of our budget. If you take away personnel costs and rent and those sort of fixed costs, this amount is 3 to 5% of that pot. So it's not a huge amount, but it's also, in my view, not insignificant, and something that I believe we should let the Office of Management and Budget know about. One of my colleagues suggested that I could send the letter on my own. I potentially could be able to do that legally, but I don't think that would be appropriate. I think the budget process is something that the commission has voted on. We voted on the budget submission that we sent to OMB a few months ago, and so I think a letter notifying OMB of a request for a reduction or an increase or whatever it may be should have the support of the commission. And so I'm not willing to send that letter on my own. So I put it on the agenda because budget issues are an open meeting. There's no exemption for talking about this in executive session. So I put it on the open meeting to discuss, and I'd like to have a vote on it. My understanding is that it may not pass, but it was important to me to notify the government of a savings that we did not know about at the time we submitted our budget. Mr. Pugh, do you have anything else to add? No? Okay. Any other comments, questions? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, well, thanks to Congress, we are all very grateful that they have passed electronic filing, and there will be savings as a result of that. And then the question is, so what should we do with the savings? The chair has suggested that we should ask that the budget be reduced. I believe we should use those funds for the benefit of the agency and the public and in service of the important mission of our agency. And I particularly think that we ought to use it in support of beefing up our enforcement division. It's been a longstanding concern, I know, of all the commissioners that cases take too long from the time they come in the door until the time we are able to resolve them. And I think there are a variety of reasons for that. We have to own some of that up here at the on the 12th floor. Still getting used to saying the 12th floor instead of the 9th floor, mm-hmm. in the new building. I think commissioners take too long to make decisions on cases, and that has ripple effects on not only it obviously delays it for that period of time, but I also think it sends a message to the staff that we don't care about timeliness. So I think that is a problem, but I also think there's only so much you can expect people to do at the staff level, and our numbers in the enforcement division have been declining over the years, and yet our caseload keeps increasing. And I prepared a simple graphic on this, and we'll see whether our brand-new spiffy, whoa, seems to come with a noise, but we've got the statistics. And, I mean, this is just really simple. In 2010, we had 59 full-time equivalents. You know, that's the government techno term for staff positions in our enforcement division, and now we've got 41. And in 2010, we had 100 cases that those 59 people were working on, and now we've got 329. It's over tripled the caseload. Not all of them are complicated, but some of them are very complicated. So, and in addition to that, what that doesn't even capture is that there are, I think, half a dozen OGC attorneys who are on long-term loan to commissioners' offices. And I think that's actually a great thing for the staff to be able to have the experience of working in commission offices and see how the place works from this perspective. I think everyone who's done it has really enjoyed that experience and found it highly educational and helped them do their job better. But that's six fewer lawyers who are downstairs doing the work of the agency. So the numbers are even a little bit misrepresentative. And I think we should, I have suggested in the past that maybe we could let them, OGC, fill those positions on a two-for-one basis if we're not willing to let them fill all six positions that we have actually, we're using upstairs. Maybe we could let them fill three of those slots. But in any event, the money that we would save on electronic filing, on not having to process the paper reports, would not even cover the costs of replacing those six attorneys, and certainly wouldn't cover the cost of going from 41 to 59 people, but it would be a start. It would be a good place to start. So that is why I was unable to support the chair's request that we ask for a budget reduction, because I think we could use that money in a productive way that would benefit the American people and serve the mission of our agency.
Thank you. As noted earlier, there is a process whereby the commission submits a budget request, and the process it requires a vote of the commission to send the document over. And if somebody wanted this information to be included in that document, that was the appropriate time to do so. My guess is that may not have garnered four votes, and so doing it this way is sort of, in my mind, an end run around the process, because you're now saying, well, if we have this money left over, we'll just use it in a way that you know, a portion of the commission wants to do, and that's not the way that it works. If every government agency was able to do that, there'd be a lot of money that was appropriated by Congress, and Congress wouldn't know the reason. They rely on the documents that are drafted by agencies, and, you know, it's a wish list. It's telling them, it's telling OMB and Congress what we need, and this information was not in there, and so it's a little late now. Another point I'd like to make, which I was going to bring up earlier in a different context, but part of what we've done this year is we've done a few things to reduce the number of cases that end up in the enforcement docket. One of them is the multi-state IE rulemaking that we just passed. There's a lot of cases that ended up in that docket where people had an RFAI that ended up getting referred to OGC because they weren't reporting it properly under some people's view of the law. Now that we have a rule on that, I anticipate those cases won't end up in the enforcement docket. So there's some. There's also some that we moved from the Office of General Counsel to ADR for sort of low dollar amounts that don't deal with complicated legal issues. That's another chunk of cases that will be removed from the enforcement docket. There's also a program that we started recently that I think is an excellent addition to the agency that allows committees who are having a problem complying with the incredibly complex law to avail themselves of what we sort of call colloquially the FEC campaign school, run by Ms. Chacona, Greg Scott, and others, Ms. Orak, and Alec Palmer, and others in the agency, where they have an opportunity to learn about the law so that they don't mess up again. And that will also reduce the number of enforcement cases in our docket, because I think the enforcement lawyers should spend their time doing cases that are weighty legal decisions, and they should do it more quickly. And I agree with you that we bear some responsibility for some of the delays as well. But those are my ideas on how to reduce the docket on the enforcement cases. And again, you know, saying now we want to talk about other ways to spend it just isn't the way that, that the government process is run. Thank you. Any other comments? Commissioner Walther.
I have some, first of all, I think there's some sense in calling out the fact that we do have, in theory, a $600,000 remaining amount of money. My concern is this. We know when we adopt our budget, and I'm not a fan of this procedure, but that we have in our budget usually a number of people, a number of places which are not necessarily filled at the time, but which, based upon our budget, will fill them. But since I've been here, we've never done that. We've never actually filled up the vacancies that we say we have when we apply for our budget. So usually there's been between $500,000, sometimes $2 million of money at the very end. And where it goes is really a kind of amorphous a process. And I don't think that's good budget either. And I think we ought to, if we want to, you know, tighten up and about where the money's going to go and where it's not going to go, we ought to say, well, we know that we're not going to spend this kind of money because we don't hire like we should. So we ought to have a 5%, you know, reduction in what we want to ask for in that area, or maybe 10%, so that we're really not, which, I mean, I like having the extra money, but I don't think it's the best way to get it unless we tighten up our own procedures. So I'm... This may be a one-off, but I think it, you know, the approach is concerning to me, because just because we have a something mid-year that's going to save money, we just don't automatically write, and we've not done it before, so I have mixed views about that. I see two draft letters, and I see one that was done, I guess, by Commissioner Peterson this morning, and I'd be interested in looking at that and maybe talking about it later on. You know, I do think we, even if the chair were able to accomplish all these changes, which they basically eliminate work from our enforcement system and put it into kind of a non-enforcement system, and some of that sounds great, but if you look at the numbers going from 41 to 329, that's so dramatic that none of those improvements would make that much difference at all. But what we do see it is we see that our caseload has grown, and the amount of time it takes to move those through the system has been, I think, way too long. I will be glad to say that a good part of our delay is the commissioners. We take too long. We sometimes, you know, don't really want to get to a case or find reasons not to move it along, and I think we could do more to improve. On the other hand, we just don't sometimes have enough people, I think, to get the work done and put it through the system. And I know I've asked every time we have a discussion on this, do we need more help? And I'm told internally, no. But my view is we must be some reason why we can't seem to move these cases faster, even if we were being diligent, which is a big if also in a number of respects. So I just wanted to have this as an opportunity to speak out a little bit on the issue. I'm not opposed to maybe giving some notice of the fact that this has happened, but I'm not sure I want to suggest that we couldn't find a good place for it. Maybe we could modify that letter and say we're still looking to see if there's areas where we might find it to be something that we could justify in terms of retaining it for a period. But we haven't had a chance to discuss this yet, you know, in a collective way. So those are just some thoughts that are out there for consideration.
Thank you, Commissioner Walther. I think at this time, I think it might be prudent to vote on the letter that I submitted, and then in January, if you'd like to make some edits to the version that Commissioner Peterson sent around, I'd be happy to consider them at that time. Commissioner Peterson, Madam Vice Chair,
just. One short comment on what my colleague was just saying. If we don't spend all the money in our budget, it reverts to the Treasury. When we have had large salary lapses in the last couple of years, part of that is not our fault. There are some positions that we are not in a position to fill. There are some empty chairs at the table, and those empty chairs come with their own staff, and that's, you know, it's not an insignificant amount of money that we have to keep sitting in our budget in hopes that we will get new colleagues and the commission will once again be fully staffed. But some of that salary lapse is out of our control. We have what I consider to be a rather odd practice where anytime somebody leaves, takes a new job, there's a requirement that commissioners actually approve every single backfill. That the, you know, if it's a GS-5 secretary or if it's a head of a division, it still requires sign-off from the personnel committee, which is commissioners. And I think as a management matter, we would do better to allow our managers to make those kinds of decisions on which positions need to be backfilled. But that is also part of the reason why we end up with additional FTEs that don't get filled.
Thank you. And I'm glad you brought up that sometimes money is sent back to the U.S. Treasury when we don't need the funds. And I think that's a good thing. And I'm happy when we're able to send it back and not just use the money for something that we may not need. With respect to commissioners approving personnel hires, I think it's a great idea. And it's because it's a budget. It has major budget implications when you hire somebody in the federal government. For the most part, after the first year, you know, people have an ability to stay, and it has a significant budget implication. And so it's something I think we should take seriously. And there are times when the agency, you know, changes because of changes in the law or because of changes in practice, and we might want to move resources from one part of the agency to another. And that gives commissioners an opportunity to take a look at those issues. So I think getting approval from commissioners is a really sound policy. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move in the letter, even though I don't think we've got the support yet. Maybe we'll work on it again early next year. But I move approval of the letter set forth in agenda document number 18-56-A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No, with the qualification that I'll work with you on a letter next year.
Thank you, Steve.
In January.
Appreciate it. For now, the motion fails by a vote of 2-2. Commissioner Peterson and I voting in favor, the Vice Chair and Commissioner Walther voting against. Thank you.